You can start it if you don't think I'm doing it right.
Oh, he's in a mood. Oh, he's in a mood.
Chattitude. Chattitude. Oh, 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 chattitude.
Oh, well, oh, well, oh, well, oh, well.
Chattitude, 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 love chattitude. Chattitude, chattitude, I love chattitude. That was good. That was good.
Right. Bad. Right. No. I prefer if you didn't start in a mood.
Bad.
Tiger's in a bit of a strop.
He's
listeners,
I'm in a great mood.
You're listening to the Chattitude Podcast with Tig Hickey, Laura Manny, and Dominic McHale, members of the CC Chahoots comedy troupe.
Or Laura Hickey, Tig O'Manny, and Dominic.
I just get my own name,
McHale.
Wonderful.
That's awkward. Why does he want to marry me?
Podcast.
Guys, it's
I
a
just
hungry...
want your surname, you cocky bitch.
It's a hungry. Listeners,
I'm going to try and call you a bitch in every podcast.
I am
podcast
not going to take this.
Go on, sorry,
I am an independent lady.
I am trying to introduce the show.
Sorry.
Anyway, don't bang the table, please.
Oh, they're today's... all very cranky. They're tetchy out.
We're tetchy. Today's topic is a very tasty one, if you'll pardon the pun.
Hey.
And it's food.
Food, glorious food.
No more singing.
Oh.
Oh. Okay.
Oh, that was a joke. That was a joke. No, you're tetchy if you're saying we're tetchy.
Your tetchiness is infectious.
I think this is a nice segue, right? It's possible that we're hangry. Are you familiar with this term?
Oh, I'm very familiar with this term.
I couldn't be because I had 6 before 6 tonight and I'm stuffers.
Oh, no, I'm not saying are you hangry. I'm just saying are you familiar with the term?
Oh, no, say there, I'll have a chat with you.
Okay.
Very familiar with that term.
Do you suffer from this affliction, Laura?
Oh, I just don't want to add another affliction to my basket and my case. Do you know what happens, right? Is with regards to like, if we were having dinner now at home, okay, but we hadn't the groceries bought yet. This is what
and
happens
Shane
now at home.
Shane stirred the stew.
Shane O'Manny goes to me on a Saturday, Laura, will we have summer salad? And those two words send the fear of God into me.
Oh,
I'm
dear.
Like, no,
slap your head off the table.
We want a summer salad because this is Saturday eating. This isn't kind of frugal Monday eating. This is Saturday.
We'll have Saturday salad.
We won't have summer salad.
Can I ask at this point, is summer salad like a template for a meal or is it like a set?
No, summer salad would be like summer salad is usually delicious, but it sometimes involves Shane with lettuce and lots of different kind of things dripping in over it, and there's all sorts of annoying stirring. And sure, look,
Laura, will we have winter chips?
Do you know what it is? I should just say what I want on the Saturday. Do you know? Just spit it out, whatever you want. Be like, I'll have this.
I find you very vague Saturday mornings.
Saturday mornings not my strong point, gang.
Am I right in saying that a lot of people use the weekend as a chance to just kind of eat exactly what they want?
Which is my... I only said it this morning. I was like... And I do great good all during the week, right? I'd be all skinny mini during the week and then I wreck it at the weekend and I'm back to square one on Monday looking at the scales fit to throw them out the window.
What is throwing caution to the wind and hell for leather eating? What does that look like? What are the foods involved?
Oh, cheese.
Cheese?
Easy singles, cheese.
Oh. Lads, oh God, years ago, I was in a house and they were like, guys, do you want a cheese plate? And we were like, oh my God, yes, big time cheese plate. Do you know what they brought out? A plate full of the Laughing Cow.
That is not
that
a cheese plate.
That was my gaff, I'd say, was it?
Well, like, there was no variety. Like, it was just all those triangles.
So, would you gorge on the easy singles?
Well, there's no gorge.
I'd be gorgeous, right, eating them. Oh. No, Well, food. We're talking about food tonight, is it?
We're talking about
food.
No problem. Yeah.
Food, for me, like, my introduction to food would have been very basically...
Breast milk? No.
I don't ever want you to look into my eyes again and say the word breast milk if
agreed.
You've time.
Okay,
all right?
Agreed.
I'm talking easy singles. I'm talking sliced pans. I'm talking cornflakes. Talking full fat milk. I don't remember anything else from my childhood.
I would say you're not alone in that regard across the country. I would say most
feel quite
people.
Alone.
Oh, don't. I would say most people that was kind of standard fare. Am I right in saying that, Laura?
I don't know about easy singles. They featured later in my childhood, like in the early days. I suppose there was bread, all right, definitely, and milk.
I was actually listening to Radio 1 there the other morning and they were saying there was kind of there's effectively two traditions in Ireland. One would be Anglo-Irish and then that would be like empire stuff, so we'd have spices and the variety of food from all over the world. Irish, what we call Irish food, is essentially what Catholic people had to work with, so the odd carrot, a bit of meat if you were very lucky, and potato.
That's interesting.
And that's
right?
what I
learned. I actually gave this food tour around Cork. It was like,
I can't believe I missed that time.
You are devastated.
But you weren't leading
it. Oh,
us.
I wasn't leading it.
No.
Now, we're not going to mention...
I was fasting when that was on.
You, it was during Ramadan, so Tig wasn't able to eat. I don't think it was the same one, Laura. This was called the Docklands Taste Tour.
I missed that.
I brought people from several different Docklands restaurants.
I remember that.
You weren't on it.
No, but I remember being offered the gig at the same time.
I turned it down, obviously, Dominic. But I had to learn about Cork history and particularly the food history of Cork. One thing I did learn was exactly what Tig was alluding to there, that some of the Cork staple dishes, like tripe and drasheen, or croobean, which is pig's trotters, is that right?
Yeah.
Or pig's head, pig's trotters. It's because all the nice food was taken from them and sold by the British.
Yep.
Don't
so
they had started.
No, we won't get into that
we
stuff.
We won't. But they had to get used to eating like the offcuts of meat.
Sorry, lads.
Sorry.
And the offcuts of meat and things like that.
And weren't we delighted? Don't we have tripe and drasheen, which I've never had an idea.
I don't know. Were we delighted? Ooh. I don't know.
Sorry.
So should I change the name of this podcast from food
no,
to...
No. Stick on the food.
Anglo gripe.
Stick on the food, foodie.
I'm talking school lunches, guys.
Oh, no.
I want to know what your ideal school lunch was, and then what was your school lunch?
Now, I had...
Lorsey.
A very troublesome relationship with milk, right?
You still do, is that fair to say?
Well, it got a bit less when I had the kids because I have to deal with milk again. But I think all
breast milk.
No, don't ever say that to me, Dom.
And just listeners there, Dom looked at me again, even though he was addressing Laura, looked at me when he said breast milk.
And
shoot.
To all the mamas out there, I just want to say bottles are fine too, gang. Okay, you know, Alfie's on the bottles.
No
and
stigma.
His head is gigantic.
No stigma.
But I find milk problematic. I've always had a bit of thing about milk. It's one of my greatest fears.
Milk.
I find it menacing when it kind of spills. It's like it has intent or something. But in my school lunches, there used to be one of those little small cartons of milk. And always like, it used to always be dodgy, like kind of custardy, buttery.
Nobody into milk, no?
Huh? Milk.
Oh, I loved it. I absolutely adored it, Tig. But Laura was in the middle of a story.
Sorry. In the middle of my story. And I'm going to stand up for myself as the only woman in this group.
Oh, here we go.
The only woman in this group now. I'm going to stand up for myself.
In Claire sitting in front of you.
Claire is not in the performance group, is she?
Right.
And people that are listening to the podcast don't even know she's here. But she is.
Laura, can I jump in?
Yeah, milk.
On the topic of school lunches and milk, did any of you get milk for lunch at school?
Oh, yes,
okay.
Yeah. That's
did any
what I mean
of you
by school milk.
Get a special. Oh, yeah, okay.
She's getting very touchy now.
I was just clarifying. She's getting hangry.
I'm not talking now for the rest of this.
Did any of you get a special milk on special days?
No.
She back in again, Benny Bunny.
That's a good yes.
Are you talking Benny Bunny?
Talking Benny Bunny. We're talking Benny Bunny.
I have a clue what Benny Bunny is. No.
Kind of strawberry flavoured milk.
Yeah.
I think like if you were to order milk every day, it was like, say, I don't know, like 25 quid for the term. And then Benny Bunny strawberry flavour was like 28, 29 quid. So you knew that mum and dad were doing all right when you got straw.
We used to get it on special days, like on the school sports day, they'd give us Benny Bunny.
Oh no, on the school, on like on the day of our sponsored walk, we get a little bottle of orange and a chomp.
Oh, nice.
Oh, nice. Wasn't
it?
Very nice.
You wouldn't get that now. You'd be getting an apple and a stick
of
water.
If there was a fight to the death between Benny Bunny and Sammy Stamp, who'd win?
Oh, Benny Bunny.
I don't know who either of those people are.
You don't know Sammy Stamp?
I actually don't know Sammy Stamp either, Tig.
Are you Protestant?
No.
No, but you're very old. You're way older than us.
I am in my late 90s.
Yeah.
But Sammy Stamp is still a scheme going on now because Finn, my 5-year-old nephew, is doing Sam. Would you stop putting your finger? No. Sammy Stamp's still going, gang.
But sure, I have no kids in school.
But you still haven't answered, what is Sammy Stamp?
Oh my God. Sammy Stamp is an ingenious...
Don't bang the table.
...national school saving scheme for little boys and little girls. They get Sammy Stamps, they put in their money. At the end of the year, they have a load of stamps, they hand it into the credit union.
Get a Benny Bunny.
And they get their money back.
It's like a bank.
It's like a bank for little kids.
Nice. Aww.
Run by a chap called Sammy, who's a squirrel. And he puts all his nuts... his bag.
Sammy's
they're,
nuts.
They're also stamps.
Oh.
Come on, gang.
Sounds legit.
Get involved.
Tig, your school lunch, what did it consist of, generally speaking?
Okay, I have a confession to make. I had no understanding of food. I was a rotund child as well. Have I mentioned that in a previous podcast?
Robust.
I suppose I have.
You have.
I would describe myself as a big bouncing baby.
Oh.
Till I was 14.
Okay.
Right? Now,
puppy
I would.
Fat.
I loved eggs, loved bread, loved cheese. Loved all those things together, and I ended up having six Lads, I'm not joking, right? Because I was just not food aware. I would have a batter of a sandwich bag going into school, right? I would have six bits, like, but three egg and cheese sandwiches for my lunch every day. I could barely walk home.
Six total sandwiches.
And I'd come home then, I'd say, "Mam, is there anything on yet?" She'd say, "Have a snack there, boy." And I'd take out what could only be described as a bucket, right? Because we used to have bowls that were really, I think they were for fruit. And I used to fill that with cornflakes, full fat milk. That was my snack.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then you'd have a big dinner
after
that.
And I'd struggle up to bed.
Oh, dear.
I wasn't mad into, like, normal bread. So for, I'd say, about 2 or 3 years of school, I used to have burger buns.
Interesting.
And they're desperate fattening as well. I had a burger bun phase as well.
Well, guys, I know we've all spoken about Tyke's rotundness, but hello, meet the rotunda over here, because I was very pudgy. I was very, now I'd call myself curvy now, like I'm obviously not a stick now, but I was pudge.
Were you skinny all the way?
I was a chubby baby.
But no, you were way. Very tall, yeah. If you recall.
Well, I wasn't a tall baby. I was kind of average for a baby. I used to have very chubby cheeks.
I was a 6'2" baby.
I had very chubby cheeks. And my mother's friends and, you know, neighbours used to chub my cheeks. And that's where I maintain I got my dimple from.
No,
I'm joking. Obviously.
My nanny, she was my mum's mum. She once poked me in the side and said, "You're after getting very plump."
Oh, dear.
But, like, fair play to her.
I don't see the reason why people feel the need to say this. Anyway, on the topic of school lunches, right, I went through several different phases. I used to have solidly, for I would say most of my school life,
oh God, the melancholy has come.
go on.
Brown bread sandwich with cheese and lettuce.
Lovely.
Which was fine. But then I went through like a Nutella phase.
Oh, I had a Nutella phase.
You cheeky mare.
Well, it's not good.
I still have a bit of a Nutella phase.
But like not having Nutella sandwiches for your school lunch, that's not good.
But you were breastfed till you were 24, weren't you?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Breastfed is best fed, I heard.
True.
Hey, bottles of grind.
Until at least 24 years of age. I also went through a Dairylea Lunchables phase. Do you remember those?
I couldn't go through them because they're one of the ones that give me the creeps, like Froobs or cheese strings or any of that muck.
So you hate like processed
dairy. Plastic cheese, kind of, yeah, I know what you mean.
Gives me the heebie-jeebies.
Tyke, what foods do you find irresistibly Moorish? And I hate that word, but I'm going to use it in this context.
Oh, peanuts, buddy.
Yeah.
Peanuts are my Achilles heel. Like, I'll be honest with you there now, for the listeners, there's a packet of peanuts in front of me now at the moment, melting my head. Getting under my skin. There's something about them.
They're like crack cocaine.
They are, though, aren't they?
Yeah.
I really do find them very. And then if you put, kind of, you know, the Aldi range.
Other ranges are available.
No,
Lidl.
Spicy things around them. Mm. You know that kind of, you know,
roasted,
those ones.
Kind of dry,
yeah,
roasted.
Now you're talking. That's.
Well, do you know why that is, Tyke?
What?
Because, right.
I'm going to wreck it now.
Oh, no, I'm not. I'm just going to give you the science behind it, right? In the coating, they have a certain sugar content, that like a sweet chili or whatever it is. So you're getting sugar, you're getting salt, and you're getting fat. And these are three things that like light up our brain when we eat them.
All right,
so any food that has sugar, salt and fat in it is just going to make your brain go like, oh my God,
I'm effectively
more
on drugs there. So
that's
you're
what's
saying.
Happening. Yeah, there's an area of your brain called the nucleus accumbens, and it's right under your brain, and it's a pleasure center. And when you eat certain foods, that lights up. It, when you take cocaine, it lights up. When you do all these types
of things. I was thinking of opening a pleasure center in town.
Oh, I'd be well into
nucleus
it.
Nucleus accumbens.
Can there be a soft play area for kids?
Absolutely more.
Will they serve hot nuts?
Look, lads, I'm not into crude stuff. I know you're a Benny Hill guy. I'm gone.
Tyke, all I meant by hot nuts was those warm nuts they serve in some.
I'm just trying to think of any other foods for you there. Like, to be honest with you, and I know the science behind this. I've read a science book once. Cheese is another one. I'm not ashamed to say that I'm actually trying to go vegan in a long-winded way. I no longer eat meat. The last bastion of dairy for me is big cheese.
Do you know why that is?
Because
I hate to keep banging on about
like
it.
It's like heroin.
It
casein,
is.
Casein, is it?
Well, they're called casomorphins.
Casing the joint.
And they're
Casey's furniture.
Present in milk. And the purpose.
Other furniture stores.
They do. The purpose of them is to addict the baby to the breast milk.
Did you say addict the baby?
Addict.
Because
if you
say
did,
breast milk again,
this
Dominic.
Podcast and your career.
My God.
I finished.
I said to addict, as in to create the addiction. So it ensures the baby
it's
wants
addicting.
To drink the milk. But as adults, when we drink milk, and cheese is a concentrated form of this, it kind of brings all the casomorphins together. That's why cheese is very addictive. And people who are trying to give up dairy or become vegan, cheese is often the last thing that they can.
I'm finding cheese harder to kick, much harder to kick than alcohol.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Okay.
I didn't find alcohol in any way, like, oh, I must go back to that for the taste, and it was more like the kind of, you know, we're out having a great time. Mm. Whereas cheese, when I'm not eating it and I know it's in the house, I'm thinking, bit of cheese there, and it'll be nice, Tyke.
Bit of cheese.
But your mind plants it in
it's
your head.
It's actually in like my that. Head, like. Mm. Are like you that, cheese yeah. guys?
Oh, I love cheese.
I do.
But I'm a food girl. Do you know what I think is interesting, right? When we were deciding what this podcast will be about, and the two of you were like, food, brilliant, brilliant. I was like, food, lads, this causes me mental and emotional trauma.
As, oh, interesting.
Isn't that, like, go on. You're like, oh, great, we'll have a big chat about food.
No, I know what you mean, Laura. And my relationship with food is complex as well. So like, I'd like to hear your perspective.
I love food, mm. right? And I love chocolate. I have such a sweet tooth. Like, it's really, I do have a very sweet tooth. And like, I, you know, had the two babies. So you'd have the baby weight and this, that. No matter what I do with food, it is connected to weight, obviously. Yeah. Because, jeekers almighty, I could only look at a biscuit and I've put on 2 stone. Do you know what I mean? But I am also trying to break that as a thought process in my head, because I don't want to pass that on to any future humans. So I'm like, you know, I it's the fine line between enjoying food and also being happy with my figure. And then I'm like, well, you know, you're a lovely person. You're a princess and an angel. You might not be a stick, but, you know, you don't have to be a stick, and you're lovely and curvy, and like, you're someone's dream weight. I often think of that, that there's somebody trying to get to me and I'm like, oh, Jesus, the size of me. Do you know what I mean?
That's,
and I
that's,
just,
yeah, that's good, actually. I haven't thought of that.
It's tricky to the, like, I love sociable eating, you know, myself and Shane at home having a lovely dinner, and it's involved with coziness and comfort. It's not that it's comfort eating, it's just that it's all part of the kind of celebration of life. And then on Monday morning, I hop on my scales and I'm like, oh, somebody celebrated life a little bit too much this weekend. Like me, my mom and my
hey,
sister.
Shoe, yeah.
Me, my mom and my sister have a group called Svelte for Santa on WhatsApp, and it's from about 4 years ago, where we decided we'd get all skinny for Christmas and then be able to eat our way through Christmas. So we check in with each other every Tuesday about like what the scale said, which is grand in a way, and it does help in a way. And me and my sister have obviously both had kids recently, so we're like trying to get our figures back and all that. But like, why? I just want a bit of chocolate. Mm. And I'm so happy when I have a bit of chocolate. And I just think moderation is probably the key. But I do wish that it wasn't all tied up with weight, that I could just be like, yes, I'm going to have this now, and then I don't have to think about
but
it.
But when you're saying, I mean, I'm just saying there, when you're saying why, where is the why? Like, who's telling otherwise? Why don't you just eat your chocolate and do whatever you want and
well,
just
I
be you?
I suppose because I don't want to be gigantic, do you know? And neither do I want to go to the gym. So it's a desperate dilemma.
It's
do
a
you
balancing
know?
Act.
I'd love,
I think we're all in that boat,
but
though,
I'd
really.
Love to be able to say like that I was going to go hit the roads now and do a big walk in this week. But genuinely, I have really got time to scratch my arse. Let alone go to the gym, and also I live in the back of Beyond, so that doesn't help. There's no gyms in the back of Beyond. But I feel like I have to break the stigma for myself. But if you see every woman's magazine, everything, it's pictures of like, there was a picture of that poor girl Daniela Westbrook the other day. She's got enough going on, but it was like, the headline was something like, Daniela horses into a sandwich. And it's a picture of her just eating a sandwich. I like, she's not horsing into it, but that's what's
well,
put
does
out there.
Your beloved Love Island help with that?
Well, Love Island is just beautiful people doing beautiful things. I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. But
I
you
caught
do have
her.
To...
I caught her.
Oh, she caught me. But you know what I mean? I think I just wish that I could eat and it would make no impact on my body. And I do feel better when I'm a bit skinnier.
What's your complex relationship with food, Dominic? Well, Mac Hale.
It's very different to Laura's, right? Because I don't love food.
Yes, I remember
I really
saying
this
before.
It's fuel for
it's
you.
It's fuel, exactly. Yeah. And if somebody gave me the choice and they were like, you can take this little pill in the morning and it gives you all the nutrients you need and you're not going to feel hungry, etc., I would do that.
That's mad.
Yeah, and I've felt like this a lot. It's like food is kind of something that you have to do during the day to make sure that you're okay, and like it's almost kind of an inconvenience. Now, I know that's a very anti-social way of living, because food is very social, and like I've learned from kind of different cultures, maybe not as much the Irish culture, but like other cultures, that it's like they build the evening around food.
Absolutely.
And food is everything.
Yeah.
Like you go out for dinner with your friends or you go out for dinner with these people. So my attitude in that regard is not very social, but that's kind of my relationship with it.
That's
I see
your attitude.
It as fuel, and when I'm eating something, I have to stop myself from kind of thinking, okay, it's got this much this in it, it's got this much carbohydrate, this much protein, this much fat, this much salt,
right,
etc.
Right.
That's how I view food. It's like in its constituent parts, as opposed to, oh my God, this tastes amazing.
But I think that that there's a happy medium between me and you, because I actually think all of our meals are like, all of my meals at home are built to be a celebration. Like, what are you celebrating on a Monday night? Like, just have a normal
that
small bit of food.
You're not having a summer salad.
Oh, but like on a Monday, you know, you'd have the wine and you'd have your bits in your pot. I said to Shane, like, we had a cheese plate last night. What night was it? Wednesday. What are you having a cheese plate for on a Wednesday? Like, week for yourself, and Shane says to me, should we have to finish the cheese?
But who are you railing against? Like, it's you dictating.
I know.
You're sort of living in a commune and you're giving out about your kind of leader, like, why are we having a cheese plate again tonight, Simon?
But it's difficult, right? Because if you do love food and if you love the taste of good food,
I do.
Then it's going to be a struggle, I think.
But is not the challenge then moderation? Now, by God, I'm no one to talk about moderation. But like, you can enjoy your food without just going crazy on it. Like, I always know when I'm about to overeat. I think most people do. I've had a lovely meal. You could be out, like, it's harder probably in a... No, it's the same. You're at home. This would be a thing I'd always have. I always have this in everything in life. I have the thing. It's quite nice. I find it hard to put it down then. I'm like, do you know what would be nice there now? Another absolute blast to that till I can't even speak. Do you know what, like, it's, I have a kind of a Moorish nature to everything. And it does feed into food as well, absolutely. Like, okay. I'd have to be... unnatural. If you knew what was going on in my head, you'd be like, that's a crazy person. I'd have to say, like, okay, Tig, you've eaten that meal now. If you're going to eat more there, you're going to get a pain in your tummy. You're not going to be able to play soccer as well. Like, it's all this I have to, like, talk myself out of overeating.
Mm. I'm into, like, immediate gratification. So I'm like, there's no point keeping that bit of cake now till tomorrow, because, like, that's stupid. I'll have it now instead.
Can I jump in? Something that you said before, and I hope you don't mind me quoting you. There's
you steal what I say all the time. So
well, at least I'm attributing the quote, you know, anyway. There's a kind of a certain nice feeling in deprivation as well. And whenever I get the food thing right, I think, like, if I do leave that bit of, like, I have half a garlic bread now in the oven at home, right?
Cooking. That's dangerous.
No. That's cooked, right? But I just thought that earlier, and I thought, like, and I didn't even mean to keep it.
Yeah.
But I just thought, like, that's definitely going to be tomorrow now for me, like, about lunch. Well, brilliant, like.
I'm like, I've done my eating now for today. But sometimes I get a bit sad as well. I'm like, oh, that's all my eating done now for today. Do you know? I have to wait now tomorrow till I can eat again.
This is very interesting.
It is.
I just love eating. And like, I'm delighted with myself now because I had my dinner early. So I'm like, that's great now. The scales will be lovely now tomorrow morning.
Mm.
I also do think it's quite unfair that, like, you and Tyke are probably in or around the same weight as me, but you look skinny as boys, whereas I'm curvy as a girl. And I say curvy, but I probably mean a bit tubby. But so
it's
cute.
It's very hard. You have to start writing your own press releases.
I'm not going to slate myself. No way. I'm a little dote, a little cherub.
But just so cute. One thing I'd like to say about food, ideal, you know, the way you'd be doing weights plans there, and all, and a guy says, like, do this, that, and the other, and eat this. Like, ideally, you're supposed to have, I think, maybe 5-6 meals a day. Would that be accurate in small meals? It depends on the person you're talking to.
I don't know. I mean, I've heard, like, 5 small meals a day, but then on the other hand, what I experience myself, I actually function best on 2 meals a day.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Because that goes back to the kind of caveman mentality where you're eating for the day, aren't you?
Would you be talking a kind of a breakfast and a dinner, or would you be talking a kind of a lunch or no dinner or what?
Well, at the moment, for the last few weeks, and I feel like I'm, you know, in getting towards optimal health, it's like 1 meal at about 12 and then another meal at about 4:30, and then that's it.
This is mad stuff.
Yeah.
You've no breakfast?
No.
And well, I could have breakfast, I could have brunch, I could have 11s, then, like, I could have dinner.
Often late night snacks is what always catches me.
Oh, I wouldn't have a late night snack.
Well, it's this...
How late is late night? I might have something about
4,
9.
5 o'clock in the morning.
That's the morning, that's breakfast.
Go on.
There's a concept called intermittent fasting, have you heard of this?
Yeah, I have.
It's where you try and put all your food consumption into a certain window during the day.
Okay.
So that you're not like... Because I think if you're eating 5 meals a day, you're doing this kind of insulin spike that you're getting each time after you eat. You don't want to have this roller coaster.
But does it not speed up your metabolism? Like, I got a instruction in weight training off a guy in, I won't name the gym, but like, I felt like he knew what he's talking about, and he said the optimum would be about 4 to 5 meals a day with, like, your protein spread out.
Well, what's the goal? Is the goal to put on muscle?
Yeah.
Okay, well then I can understand why you'd want to consume a lot of calories, but I don't think we're built or designed to be eating 4 or 5 times a day.
That's what I was going to say. I just think it's, for me, it's inconvenient to, like, I don't sit down to eat. I don't have time Okay, that's another thing you'd say, well, make time, whatever. But I just don't see where you'd get the time for 5 or 6 meals.
Yeah.
I think I've put on a load of muscle, but it just hasn't had time to kind of formulate itself yet.
My buddy Sully made the same comment about himself recently, so you're in good company there anyway. Well, he reckons he's Sully, a mussy little fella.
But Sully, like, I don't want to make any personal comments, but like, I'd never view Sully as anything other than a lovely man. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm not going around going, look at him, he's pudgy.
I would definitely see him as pudgy. No, sure. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying that that's the way he described himself as well, just
but
to let
also,
you know.
Also, I find as well, though, that people view themselves like.
Love you, Sol.
Nobody, I love you too, Sol. Would ever, like, it's not something that other people see. Like,
no.
We'll say, I look at my. No, it's not something that I see either. I think I have body dysmorphia, but in the wrong way. I look at myself and I'm like, I'm stunning.
Great.
And then I see a picture of myself and I'm like, ah, cripes. Why couldn't they put a filter on that? And like,
why can't I body dysmorph this picture? Like,
do you know, like, my tummy, where my babies were pulled out of, right, out of my section. Like, those muscles are destroyed forever. Like, they're not coming back.
It's a massively
so,
deep
like, pants
incision,
are just
like.
A disaster for me. I'm in leggings now for life, and so be it.
Well, hello, leggings.
I can't begin to understand how difficult it is for somebody who's had kids to try and get back to where they were.
Thank
but,
you, Dom.
But you see,
finally.
And I'm referring to Tyke here specifically.
Finally. 15 years ago, I had a child.
I don't think it's about how you look necessarily, and I apply this to myself. I think it's about how you feel. If you feel healthy and if you feel like you're doing well, that's what should be the guide, you know?
What's your final thought?
My final thought is, and it's an interesting one. I think it's quite interesting. If left undisturbed, I would eat the same
food
thing.
Food goes off.
Correct. Unless it's vacuum
packed. Watch out for mold.
Let him talk.
I would eat the same thing every day, like identical, every single day, if undisturbed. And I actually think that's good.
Who's disturbing you, lovely?
Well, final. As in, I don't mean disturbing. I mean, like, if other influences aren't in play. I know you're trying to hurry me on, Dyke, but let me finish this and I'll tell you why. It takes the stress out of it because you never have to decide what am I going to eat today or when. You know exactly what you're going to eat and when you're going to eat it, so it kind of takes that stress out of it. And number two, if we look at the animal kingdom, they eat the same thing all the time. They have very specific...
Animals are very boring, though.
I think they're quite exciting.
Have you ever been an interesting fox?
Yeah.
Finishing
this
point.
One who lives in my estate.
My finishing point is go eat, be happy, have what you want, be careful. Go for a walk and you're lovely.
Two words for you, Jackie Deluxe.
That's Jackie Deluxe.